Okay, welcome back to the After Sunday podcast. Thanks again for joining us. I'm here with Miss Kim to talk about your questions from the sermon and answer those, hopefully. What questions you got for me today?
Okay, Pastor Matt, some weeks I come away from the sermon with a lot of my own questions. This time, these are from our church family.
Which is fun.
And, but having said that, once I read these questions, they seem to be ones that I didn't know I had.
Yes.
So.
And myself included. Sometimes I come away from the sermon like, oh, yeah, I probably should have talked about that, but I didn't.
Anyways. I know. So these are really good. So my first one is, how talked about moving a church from defense to offense. I'm always thinking on the practical side. So how do you do that? What are some practical ways that you can do that?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I think the key is this. We're moving from policies to people. So from defense to offense, you shift from a policy to a person. When we're defending theological truths and defending policies, we are, it's not necessarily that we're on our heels, but we're just trying to play catch up. Like, oh, what do we believe? Oh, what do we think about? Which is important. Paul tells us to stand firm.
Yes.
So we want to stand firm in the theological truth that we have. That's kind of like, it's kind of like boot camp, though. It's kind of like the preparation for the offense. So it's really kind of getting your policies down, your theology down, so that you can meet with people.
I love that.
So my question for people would be essentially this is, for the whatever theological truth you have or whatever in your mind you have that you're defending, have you actually sat down with somebody who's dealing with that?
Mm.
So if you say, I believe this, have you sat down with someone who doesn't believe, not even that doesn't believe it, but that is struggling with it?
Correct.
Like a certain sin or temptation or whatever it may be.
And I always think to myself, will I be able to address that, whatever that is with that person? Am I capable? Am I trained? Do yeah. Do I have what the Word of God has to say in front of me? Am I able to articulate that with grace?
Which is, and you're right, that's the policies, theology, that's the preparation. And then the offense is, like what you said, going into that with that grace and truth and actually getting into those conversations. Mm-hmm. So offense is essentially what we work for, but I think the church often has been just stuck in the defense mode.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody was to say to me, how do you move the church from defense to offense? I would say, you've got to go and you got to meet with people who are actually dealing with these things.
You know that works for me.
Yeah, you're good at this. This is someone to learn from.
Okay, so here's our second question. Again, we're called to love and defend the oppressed. Such truth there. But oftentimes, we come across folks who are sometimes openly living in sin.
Hmm.
Are we still called to defend them? Are we still called? Help us with that.
Yeah. And I said in the sermon that we, there's two things that I think to note down. One, Christ came to us while we were still the oppressors and the oppressed and still in sin. So he died for us literally while we were still sinners. So if you asked, it's funny, if we asked to what extent should we go for those who are lost and struggling, how far should we go? The answer would literally be to the point of dying for them.
That's right.
So it's, you know, Jesus shows us that radical love like mm-hmm. that. And then I think that's actually what makes the church distinct is that we not only love the oppressed, but we love the oppressors. It's something that I've wrestled with through. And I know you can find texts and just situational ethics. You can say, okay, well, there was this one situation and all these different things. But the gospel is not for just the person who's struggling, being oppressed.
Right.
It's also for the oppressor. And that, for me, is kind of that's a hard place. I'm better at loving the oppressed than I am loving the oppressor. And when you think about temptation and sin, really it's when you're stuck in a sin, you are both oppressed and the oppressor.
Yes.
And so Jesus died for both the oppressed and the oppressor. Because when you're in sin, you're enslaved to whatever sin or temptation you're in.
And I think we've talked about partiality, and I think yeah. I agree with you. I have some partiality when it comes to having a tough time interacting with someone I know is an oppressor.
Right.
And I think that's just something to let the Holy Spirit guide in and continue to lift that up to the Lord. I think that's a tough one.
Well, and there's a holy anger, mm-hmm. Slow to anger, as James says, but there's a holy anger that we get to, and there's a righteous justice that needs to take place towards the oppressor. So somebody listening, maybe, you know, in our conversations, we may go, you know, at some point we got to stop the oppressor from hurting the oppressed. And I'd say, absolutely. But we are still trying to get the oppressor to stop oppression through the power of the gospel.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of, I think it's kind of working together.
And again, when Jesus found me, I was just as guilty.
I was the oppressor.
Yeah. Just as guilty.
So we're trying to help people out of their sin, breaking down bondages, all these different things, and you're going to the point of death
and making it
obvious to the world that, look, we're here for those who are being oppressed. We're here for the oppressors. We're here for all those who need love. Mm. That makes us radically distinct.
I'm thinking through what that would look like if we actually put that in practice.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty.
Move from defense to offense.
I know. I love that.
You got to get with people.
You're right.
You got to get with the oppressors. Right. So some people might say, well, I have this view against oppression or for the oppressed, to defend the oppressed. Well, I would also say, go sit with the oppressors.
Mm,
learn how to help them get out of that oppressive state, an abusive state.
Yeah. I love that. All right. You ready for number three? One more. So oftentimes I'm going to come up against someone, we're going to meet someone who has no idea that they are either being oppressed and or that they are an oppressor. Mm-hmm. But how do we help people understand that they are broken, oppressed, those terms?
So I think the best way to do this is to envision glory. It's the second phase of what we say in the process of kind of sanctification, going from where God... from where you are to where God has for you, is this, some people call it the beatific vision, this envisioning glory. So what I would say is what you want to do is you want to show, you have to think through this beforehand. What would it look like for this person to experience heaven on earth in this particular category?
Mm.
And work it out, kind of flesh it out, think through, okay, these are all the different things that this person would experience if they were experiencing God's perfection on earth right now.
Yes.
So you're kind of laying out what it would look like, and then you can go to that person and say, okay, this is what God wants for you. This is what you might have in this category, but this is what you're experiencing.
Yes.
Because a lot of people will go, man, I feel, I'm okay. I'm good. But you're like, you're going, this isn't what God has for you.
Correct. See the pain. We see the pain that they don't necessarily even acknowledge sometimes.
Yeah, and I think you've worked in relationships that where there's an abusive relationship going on, and a lot of times, whether it's male or female, whoever in the relationship is being abused, they feel like that's the best they're going to ever get, and they're told that, and they think, this is all I deserve.
Yes.
And we're going, no, God has so much more for you than to be abused.
Good word. That's a good word.
So what I would recommend is going back and for anyone to go to look at our 3D discipleship podcast, the one Discipleship and Virtues. We recorded it on March 2nd, which would have been yesterday for today, and listen to that, because in it we talk about what man can know without God, what man can know with God, and what God knows.
Wow.
And what we're trying to do is
I haven't listened yet, so you can tell I'm excited.
What we're trying to do is help people understand that what they know is only a limited amount of what God has for them in this world. And so with people who are stuck in oppression and people who are oppressors, we're trying to help them understand there's so much more that get what God has for them, and you can only know that through God's word and by the power of the Spirit revealing that to us.
That's very good.
So that's what I'm – people who are stuck in oppression or oppressors, what I'm trying to help them understand is there's so much more out there for you, and you can only find that in the name of Jesus and through his word. And we're called to be the ones moving from defense to offense who are going to them and showing them what that looks like.
I love that. Such a great promise there, and also a challenge.
Yeah.
Big challenge.
Yeah, as Pastor Bill says, boots on the ground.
Amen,
brother. You got to go from boot camp to boots on the ground.
We're ready.
I think we are, and I think the church is too. So anyways, thanks for joining us for the After Sunday podcast.
Thank you.
For those who have been live stream for if you're on podcast, whatever it may be. Thanks for joining us. So we appreciate you. And thanks, Ms. Kim.
Oh, thank you.